What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. Donktober. Kevin, you get a gold star. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, Gary Whitta.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
We were talking about this one before we went off, or before we came on. There's breaking news. All this other stuff's happening. Have you been kept aware? Have you been keeping your ear to the ground, Gary, of Kevin and his golden stars?
Yes, because if you remember last week, I almost gave Kevin a gold star at the end of the last show. But whenever it was, the last show that I was on. Okay, that's a minus gold star for you.
You can't subtract gold stars.
I'm doing it right now.
It can't be done.
As the recipient of the gold stars, Kevin, you don't get to decide how they are given
now,
out or not.
Here's an interesting thing. The chat can't decide whether I've got enough gold stars or I'm one away.
Yeah, I see a lot of people in the chat going, he's done it. Yeah, what is the Moobot command says? The Moobot is the one we live by, and the Moobot says you have 24.
All right. Yeah. So right now there's some confusion because it's
Moobot has now said you have hit 25. You have hit 25. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin had to get 25 gold stars in the month of Donktober to get a pizza party. He has officially done it. He has hit 25.
Well, he's not getting any from me.
I don't think he needs you anymore, Gary. Now he can go wild.
I'm not going to lie. It is my personal goal to get one more gold star from Gary today.
Oh. You're just in the bonus round.
Then you got to come correct, Kevin.
You're right.
And that's the thing. Let me just say,
you're not. If that is your goal, you're not off to a good start on this show.
You're right. I'll make it better.
A bit of a hole.
All bets are off.
Is it, Gary, because I now have to gain 2 stars to be up one? Because I'm down
negative one.
Gary stars.
Just to get back to zero.
Well, good job ruining the moment for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Today we're talking about a bunch of PlayStation 5 announcements, a bunch of Nintendo announcements, and Halo Infinite losing another top Bungie employee because this is kinda funny. Well, not Bungie, 343. Sorry, that's the one that broke, and that's what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to also request a thumbnail at the same time. Kevin, can you request a thumbnail? Let's figure out the headline, because that's what I'm stalling at right now. I got to give Andy what I need it to be, so there you go. Halo Infinite loses another leader. That's not good. That's not a good headline, but that's what I'm putting in there, and Andy can figure it out. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames with your questions, comments, concerns, and of course, your squad up request to play video games with the Kinda Funny best friends. However, there's so much more to do at Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You, of course, get the show ad-free. You can get it with that exclusive post show we do each and every weekday, and you can get exclusive shows like Bless Up, Blessing's exclusive Patreon show that he puts up over there. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can head over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every weekday to get a brand spanking new episode. You can even be live watching the show right now on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you have if you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later, as I've already said. Housekeeping for you. It is another huge day. Of course, yesterday, kindoffunny.com/PS5. We had 2 unboxings of the PlayStation 5. We had an Astros Playroom Let's Play. We had a brand new episode of PS I Love You XOXO. And we had your first look at PlayStation 5 trophies. Today is still a certified banger. Of course, you get all this content on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get our Watch Dogs Legion review as a new games cast. You can get Snowbike Mike from the Kinda Funny X-Casts unboxing of the Xbox Series X. And you can get Tim Getty's unboxing of the Xbox Series X. Like I said, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames for all of that. If you're just looking for our Xbox Series X launch coverage, you can go to kindoffunny.com/Xbox. Gary, you, of course, one of the co-hosts of the Kinda Funny X-Cast alongside Snowbike Mike, Alana. How much is it sticking your craw that both of them have an Xbox Series X and you have nothing?
Well, it used to stick in my craw that Alana got one before me and Mike.
Yeah.
But then, as you know, because I saw it, as a keen consumer of Kinda Funny content, Greg.
Yeah.
I did see this morning that Snowbite Mike got one as well, which I was very excited. He did an unboxing.
YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames.
So very excited about that. And you know, it would stick in my craw. It would stick in my craw very much, Greg. Yeah. Were it not for the fact.
Gary would have had it.
At Microsoft came through for little old Gary as well.
little old Gary.
Little orphan Gary.
Now, I decided not to do an unboxing, and don't get me started on unboxings, Greg, because you know I have strong feelings about unboxings.
Sure.
I was looking this morning because honestly, as nice as it is to get an Xbox Series X, it makes me feel a little bit special that it seems like fucking everyone and their cat got one.
Sure.
Today, yeah. Like, there's so many people doing their unboxings.
Gary, if it makes you feel better, look, I didn't get one, and
that he actually does. And I saw Andy Cortez griping about it as well this morning. That made me feel a bit better as well. Yeah. I'm still a little bit special, not as special as some, but specialer than others, and that is good enough for me. Yes, I was going to do an unboxing, but like, yeah, I don't want to be a hypocrite because you know how I feel about unboxing videos. How many times, Greg? How many times can you watch somebody take something out of a fucking box?
Sure.
Oh, here's the power cable. Brilliant. having said that, I couldn't wait. And here's the thing: they said, like, because I got it. Like, when did I get it? I got it like Monday. And they said, oh, but you can't like show anything about it until Friday. And then they moved it up to Wednesday. I'm not going to wait until Wednesday to do an unboxing. No. I thought maybe I'll get it out now because I want to see it right away and then put it all back in the box and I'll do a re-unboxing for my stream. Because the thing is, like, I'm looking at these videos and like every single person doing an unboxing video is getting like 100,000 hits at least, like, views on their video. Yeah. Like, wow, people really, really like watching people take cables out of boxes, I guess.
Sure.
Very exciting.
It's the excitement.
Content.
It's next gen, Gary.
I couldn't bring myself to jump on that train.
Also, if I can just point out, Gary, just because you got it on Monday doesn't mean the video you made would have to go live. You can record things.
Oh, yeah, but I wasn't thinking about doing it on. I was going to do it like as a live, because I'm more of a Twitch guy than a YouTube guy.
Twitch.tv/Gary.
And I was like, okay, I'll take it out of the box and then I'll very carefully like put it all back in so I can like re-unbox it for the benefit of a stream.
But
as you know, Greg, it's so lovingly and carefully boxed that to take it all apart and put it, it's just too much. Enough already with the unboxings. Like, if you want to watch, trust me, if you want to watch someone take an Xbox out of a box,
kindoffunny.com/Xbox.
The internet has got you covered. You don't need me. There's a million of those fucking videos out there.
Yeah, but we are the best ones, so kindoffunny.com/Xbox.
Already unboxed. And yes, indeed.
There it is.
Here is the thing of beauty itself. I'm very, very excited about this. I'll say this, Greg, after all of the talk about the chunkiness of these new consoles, and of course, the for me at least, the jury is still out on the PS5 because I haven't seen it in person.
I assure you, the jury is not out. She's a big one.
I'm waiting.
It's a big girl down there.
Both my wife and my daughter said, oh, it's not as big as I thought it was going to be. And I do actually like this kind of optical illusion paint effect that they put on the top that as you kind of like hold it at different angles, but it almost looks like a green thing.
I follow the cable, but I wish it was an LED.
I still wish it was a light. I brought that up to Phil Spencer when he was on Animal Talk. He said, look, that's like an extra 30 cents or whatever. You know, we got to keep the cost down. It's just the paint's cheaper and it still does look quite good.
It's still cool.
I'm very happy with it. I'm very happy with the aesthetic. My wife is a little bit worried about what it would look like, you know, sitting on the entertainment center, but it looks good.
Do you have a space already reserved mentally?
Yeah, I've already figured it all out. I've been puttering around with that for the past couple of days. Figuring out where to put it, and I've got it all sorted out. We've got a nice little spot for it. I haven't yet. I'm going to do it right after the show. I haven't yet plugged it in and messed around with it yet. I'm going to do that right after the show because today, one of the other things that Microsoft said was you might want to wait until Wednesday because we're pushing another firmware update that will be either closer to or actually the retail, you know, update that, you know, retail consumers will get on November 10th.
Sure.
So I'm going to be plugging it in later today, and I look forward to putting it through its paces. But I'm very happy with the size, the aesthetic. It looks good. I'm excited about it. Next gen is here. Bring it on. Thank you very much, Microsoft, for sending me a Xbox Series X. I don't think I'll get a PlayStation 5 early because I don't have any chums at PlayStation the way I have it. Xbox. They don't give a fuck about Gary. Xbox loves Gary. PlayStation gives a fuck about Gary. November 12th, right? PlayStation 5.
That's right.
I have two pre-orders. I look forward to beholding the true epic size of the PlayStation. I mean, I've seen these unboxing videos, and my goodness, like I said to you before, I stand by it. Not just mildly amusing, hilarious, the size of that fucking console. My goodness.
Well, I look forward to your talking about this Xbox Series X on that there kind of funny X-Cast, remember?
Yes, on X-Cast. Friday, by Friday, I will have had a chance to like kind of really like play with it and get into it. And I look forward to talking about it in more detail. What was your PlayStation 5 unboxing experience like when you finally got it out of the box? And there's been a lot of talk about how big is it really? You'll never know until you actually kind of see it in your hot little hands.
Yeah.
What was your first impression when you pulled it out of the box?
I think it's I like the design. I still super like the, hey, it looks like future tech. It looks like something out of Detroit Become Human. It is huge. It is humongous. I think it looks good. I think that when I had it just the Xbox Series X on my entertainment center back here, I thought it looked unbalanced. And I know it's hard to see the black void that is the Xbox Series X. I thought it looked unbalanced with then the little PlayStation 4 next to it. I had a Spider-Man Pro next to it that isn't over there anymore. And anyways, when I put in the PlayStation 5 and then I put in the Xbox Series X. Now granted, I also peeled away all my VR stuff. I peeled away my PlayStation 4 Pro. I peeled away the Xbox One X. And I say that because all four of those systems and the VR stuff were already in the entertainment center at the same time because of reviews and stuff. I peeled all that back. And so like last night was the first time watching TV with just those two. And I think Jen's Switch in the middle. And I think it actually looks good there the way it is. Balanced out.
And almost forgot. System. Of course, let's not forget the controller. The new Series X controller, which I so far am also very pleased with. It's got a good weight to it. I think the share button is cool.
I like the D-pad.
I like the new D-pad, which is very much more like the Elite D-pad. Mm-hmm. Two things that I'm particularly pleased about. One is, of course, as you know, what a bugbear this is for me. USB-C. Finally, USB-C charging. No more fucking around with micro USB cables. And then the other thing, Greg, I'm sure you noticed this, is on the underside of it.
The texture. Kind of
a rougher hewn texture, which I actually kind of like. It makes it a lot more grippy. I like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it's very nice. I played Watch Dogs Watch Dogs Legion for review up now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Gamescast podcast feeds around the globe. And I played it on my Xbox Series X, or I'm sorry, my Xbox One X, because they only had current gen stuff ready to go. But I used the Series X controller with it and I had a great time. Thought it felt great.
How's the DualSense, by the way? Just real quick, because I want to know.
Oh, it's great.
Do you like it?
Astrobot. We can talk about it, what it's like turned off, and then we can talk about our experience with it via Astrobot and Astro's Playroom. And it's awesome. Like, it for all that bullshit they were talking of haptic feedback and adaptive triggers and all this jet, like when you actually are playing it, like it feels good. And when you actually do use the shoulder buttons and you have to push really hard to get through something, like it sounds weird, I know, but when you do it, it is another feeling.
Yeah, I'm excited about it because, you know, I've never really been a massive fan of the PlayStation controller, and this is the biggest.
I'll be interested for your take on this one.
Yeah, this is a bigger change than 2 to 3 to 4, so I'm excited to see how I feel about it.
Okay. Yeah. Back on track, though, because like I said, it's a huge day here already for what's going on in youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It's a huge day on Games Daily. I do want to, before we get out of housekeeping, though, mention Animal Talking Halloween Spooktacular Friday, yes. 7 p.m. Pacific Time, twitch.tv/GaryWitta.
And you'll be joining me on the show.
I will be joining you, yeah. And you'll have all sorts of illustrious guests.
And, we'll be live on the front page of Twitch, twitch.tv/GaryWitta, the Animal Talking Halloween Spooktacular. We have some very, very special guests that will be joining us, as you say, Greg, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific. I hope you will join us.
I can't wait. I'll be there. Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, Blackjack, and Tom Bach. Today, we're brought to you by Amazon Alexa, Upstart, and Hims. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We have 7 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
2 of them coming in so gosh darn hot. For the first one, we will jump to the breaking news from Bloomberg. This is Jason Schreier reporting about Halo losing a top director. I like to not read all the story and have you go there, but as this was breaking, I just kind of pasted it in and I haven't had a chance to trim it down or anything. So go to Bloomberg, give Jason Schreier a click. Turbulence continues on Microsoft Corporation's Halo Infinite video game with the departure of the project's director. Chris Lee, who oversaw production of Halo Infinite at 343 Industries, which is developing the game for Microsoft, is no longer working on it, he confirmed to Bloomberg News on Wednesday. Lee is the second top director on the project to leave in the past 2 years. Quote, I have stepped back from Infinite and I am looking at future opportunities, Lee said. I believe in the team and I'm confident they will deliver a great game, and now is a good time to step away, for me to step away. The highly anticipated next Halo installment was originally slated to come out alongside Microsoft's launch of its next generation Xbox Series X console in November. The game was delayed in early August, however, following poor fan reception to an early public version. Lee's role was sidelined a few weeks later as Microsoft brought in Halo veteran Joe Staten to lead the single-player campaign and another senior executive, Pierre Heintz, to run multiplayer. Lee has been at 343 Industries since 2008, a year after its founding, overseeing the Halo series. Since 2016, his title has been partner studio head. Quote, Chris Lee remains a Microsoft employee, and while he has stepped back from Halo Infinite right now, we appreciate all he has done for the project to date, Microsoft said in an emailed statement. The development of Halo Infinite has been rocky. In August 2019, 343 Industries lost its creative director, Tim Longo, and executive producer, Mary Olson. At the time, the company said that, quote, the overall creative vision and production of the game remains led by Chris Lee, end quote. Pushing the game's release beyond November was a blow for Microsoft, which was relying on the game to help sell new Xbox consoles in the holiday season. Retail boxes for the Xbox Series X still feature artwork of Master Chief, the main character of Halo. Halo Infinite doesn't currently have a release date, but 343 has said it will be out next year. Gary Whitta, co-host of the Kind of Funny XCast, what do you take away from this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Mike, Alana, and I will be talking about this in more depth on Friday. I mean, look, it's not good, is it? There's no way to spin. What's interesting is you'll notice they didn't even try to spin this. The fact that they didn't give any reason behind this departure tells you that there's nothing good to say, right? This is whatever happened behind the scenes, it ain't good, right? You know, it's either like a massive creative difference of opinion, or this guy going, this is so fucked. I need to get away from this before it drags me down. Well, I mean, that's like the worst, you know, possible reading of it. But there's no good theory as to why this would be happening. And I think overall, as much as it pains me to say it, because you know, I like Microsoft, I like Xbox, I want them to be successful. I want Halo Infinite to be good, and it may still very well be. I've seen plenty of games emerge from troubled development, and movies too, and all kinds of stories like this where the end product ended up being good in spite of all of that. But yeah, I think we are now officially sliding into territory where you can say that Halo Infinite is a troubled game. It's having a troubled development. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and I think the real question is, this is going to be, you know, Donktober 28th, 2020, a date I'd love to look back on next year. Because reading this, it then makes me wonder, is Halo Infinite even coming out next year? And that could be a bridge too far. I could be getting crazy with it. But to exactly what you said, Gary, if I was Microsoft, or if I was 343, if I was Chris Lee, and this wasn't a big deal, if this was Chris Lee literally being like, my work on the project's done, it's time, you know, like, I've done everything I can here. I've led them where they are. It's 98% done. Everybody else just has to tweak things and tighten bolts. You'd say that. That would be the statement. The statement would be that, like, hey, yeah, you know what? I mean, I've overseen production the entire way through, and the game's in a great place, and I can step away, and they can finish the work, and they can be done, right? The fact that there's nothing like that, that it's just like, yeah, you know, Chris Lee, I believe in the team and I am confident they will deliver a great game, right? Let alone that when they did this August 2019 statement, the overall creative vision and production of the game remains led by Chris Lee. Like, the leader is leaving, and it is this thing of what Halo Infinite looked like when everybody got to see it, and when people got to, I forget, Alana, they didn't play it, right? She got to, like, watch it, right? They, like, went into the demos, right? I remember listening to XCast on it. Like, from people getting to go see it behind closed doors, you know, through the magic of Parsec and webs and all that jazz. It sounds to me more like the fact that, yeah, like, you there's got to be trouble back home.
You know, there's any number of ways to read it, and I always hesitate to speculate when there's so little to go on, and there is so little to go on because, you know, they're not saying anything, and that always is, you know, I've seen a million statements like this before that clearly were written and or approved by the PR department to present as, you know, antiseptic, as anodyne. Now is the time for me to step back from the project. okay, but why? Why is now the time? They're not telling. They're not saying anything, presumably because there is nothing good to say. Having said that, I mean, there is an argument that, you know, it may well be if this guy was the wrong fit for the project or for whatever reason is being replaced by someone, like this could be part of getting the project back on track. Who knows? We just don't know. And so I hesitate to speculate, and I remain optimistic that, I don't think there's any scenario where Microsoft puts out Halo Infinite and it's a bad game. They can't. They cannot afford to allow that to happen.
But that
they
will then spend, leads they me will to spend the question.
Whatever, they will spend whatever is necessary in terms of time and money to get to have this game be worth to be worthy of the Halo name, even if that means holiday 2021 or even beyond. You know, they're gonna. It's yeah. just, you know, it's not a good look for them right now, but a year from now, maybe when the game comes out, if the game's great, people will forget that we ever had this conversation.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the millions of people who buy Halo Infinite, such a small percentage of them will know there is any drama, any information. They don't even know who Lee is behind all this stuff. Right. But I do wonder, like, again, they're talking about, you know, in August, poor fan or Jason is August, poor fan reception. They bring in Joe Staten, they bring in Pierre to do this. I wonder how much of that was from the ground up, throwing everything away. We've seen and played plenty of games where the leadership got fired or quit or whatever in the middle of the project. New team came in, they scrapped the original stuff, but they kept parts of it and put it in there. And oftentimes you can get a game when you do that, that feels disjointed, that is just using things and putting things into a place that don't necessarily go because they have the stuff and they want to use it. But again, to your point, I am right there with you that there is no way Phil Spencer and Xbox put out Halo not 100% committed and believing in it, which makes me really do wonder if what does this mean? How far back did they go? Is it a from the ground up? Is it they threw away the entire storyline? Like, where, I guess also, where is it off track the most? What's is it just the visuals, which is obviously what they got dinged for over the summer when it got shown? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, again, I hesitate to kind of spend too much time talking about it because there's way too information. All we can do is speculate. And again, I know speculation is basically kind of the staple food stuff of the internet, kind of just like, you know, firing off kind of ill-informed opinions and hot takes and so
and
forth. And so I don't want to spend too much. Ultimately, I don't think it's good. It's hard. It's not good news. I don't think. But we don't. That's all I can say is I don't. It doesn't seem like it, but I don't know. The one thing that I can say with confidence, I will say this with confidence, in spite of everything that's happening right now, and it's been one negative news cycle after another for Halo Infinite ever since they first showed it. The two big ones were when they first showed it, and many people, including me, I was really hard on it, going, mm-hmm. This just does not look good. It just doesn't look good, and it didn't. And I stand by that. And then when it got pushed, those were both massive. Like, this is nothing but negative publicity, nothing but negative perception out there for Halo Infinite right now. And then this, arguably, you know, the loss of a key figure on the development team. Again, could be good news, could be bad news. The people inside Halo Infinite could be fucking celebrating right now. They might know this to be good news. We just don't know. And they can't. And of course, they can't say that. Hey, it's great that we're getting rid of this guy, right? Like, they all left.
He was a huge problem, and really, was
they have
back.
To be very, very nice in what they say. And it was all probably like legally worked out between all the parties concerned. The only thing I can say with any confidence, just because like it's unthinkable that Microsoft would let it happen, I still think Halo Infinite will be a good game. They can't afford for it not to be.
No way.
But it's going to be a while before we have the answer to that question. My guess is holiday next year.
That's definitely the hope. And I saw in the chat go by that, you know, Joe Staten's role before has been defined as like the Halo closer. So perhaps he is in there just buttoning everything up or whatever. I think there's more to it in the fact they didn't say that for Chris Lee. But yeah, it's a wait and see approach. And I think, above all, right, it goes back to what we said yesterday with Cyberpunk, which of course is take all the time you need, make the game great. You know what I mean? 343 is filled with hundreds of people trying their hardest each and every day to make this game fantastic. And I wish them all luck. Like, no one's, you know, as we sit here and do speculate, like, oh, this doesn't look good. Like, I don't think anybody's going in good. You know what I mean? It's like, I hope that this is a move for the best. And I hope this, whatever the problems were that they had, they're able to overcome and stuff. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see, Gary.
Wait and see.
Now, speaking of bad news, let's get some good news. Gary, we woke up today to a Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase. I'm going to read from Nintendo's release, but then I'm going to get all over the place. So stick with me, everybody. Grab on. During the last Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase of the year, Nintendo provided information about a variety of games coming to the Nintendo Switch family of systems from development and publishing partners like Square Enix, Remedy Entertainment, Koei Tecmo Games, and HAL Laboratory. Games featured in the video presentation include the anticipated RPG sequel, Bravely Default 2, farming and lifestyle sim Story of Seasons, Pioneers of Olive Town, Greek mythology-inspired action-adventure game Immortals Fenyx Rising, Nintendo Switch versions of Hitman 3 and Control, which are both played via cloud streaming technology, and the over-the-top action game No More Heroes 3. There was even the surprise reveal that the original No More Heroes and No More Heroes 2 Desperate Struggle, which originally released on the Wii system, are now available exclusively in the Nintendo eShop on Nintendo Switch. Gary, you might say, man, how does Switch contend with these headlines? PlayStation 5 unboxings, Xbox Series X unboxings. They're finally bringing streaming to the Switch in America. I jumped to Brandon Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz, who had these three paragraphs that I liked. Control Ultimate Edition launches today with a free download that will let players test out the quality of the streaming service. After a five-minute trial, players will be prompted to purchase an access pass to play the rest of the game. While this is the first time players in the West will be able to stream games on Switch, Nintendo has previously experimented with cloud versions of the games, cloud versions of games for the system. In 2018, Resident Evil 7, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and Phantasy Star Online 2 all received cloud versions for the Switch in Japan. Gary Whitta, your take.
So I find this all very interesting. I love these little mini directs. I can always tell when there's been one because I wake up in the morning and check my phone and my Twitter feed has just exploded with everyone like reacting to whatever Nintendo has announced. And I think there's two parts of this, right? It's a bunch of new games and then the streaming stuff. In terms of the new games, Bravely Default, you know, No More Heroes, that kind of stuff, Story of Seasons. I think it just shows that Nintendo's continuing to do like a very solid job of putting out games from, you know, third-party developers and building the Switch library. This was the problem they had with the last two generations, the Wii and the Wii U. The third-party support was terrible, right? It was just like Guy Fieri's cooking challenge and bullshit like that. Like, it just wasn't, there wasn't, you know, and it was just like bargain bin stuff. I still remember vividly going to the store and seeing like literally these big bins, big just barrels filled with like fucking Wii games for like $5. Just shovelware, just garbage.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a real problem for the Wii and the Wii U. That has not been a problem on the Switch. Their third-party stuff, their indie library, their catalog has been really, really great. So well done to Nintendo for riding that ship. So far as the streaming stuff, this kind of came out of nowhere, right? This really, it took me a second to understand what was even going on here. Like, I'm not clear. Is Nintendo, this is like a Stadia xCloud kind of thing, right? All the processing's being done on their end.
Yeah.
So this isn't limited by the Switch hardware. This is essentially a Stadia type offering. But you're not. Yeah. It's not like a whole subscription service they're launching. It's more like on a game by game basis.
Correct. Is doing it with two right now. They're launching with Control Ultimate Edition. Hitman 3 is coming. No date was given, but of course, Hitman 3 coming for the other consoles early next year.
Listen, the big thing, you know, whether or not there's like a 4K Switch or a Switch Pro or something coming down the road, who knows? That again, that's just speculation. But in the meantime, the fact that there is now, you know, the Switch is gonna fall behind in terms of the technology this holiday because PlayStation 5 and Series X will start to get out there. If they can make the cloud stuff work, that's a very viable way potentially for them to stay in the race and to have games like very, very kind of tech hungry. Like Control is like a high spec game, right? Ray tracing. You know, it chugs on a lot of current gen systems. You need a high end PC to run it really, really well. The idea of Control on Switch seems like a bit of a joke, but streaming it over a streaming service, maybe that's how they get some of these high spec games running on Switch. If the streaming actually works, the problem is, Gary, of course, if you're playing handheld or if you have a Switch Lite where it's your only choice, you're stuck on Wi-Fi. Most streaming services like xCloud and Stadia will strongly, strongly, strongly recommend a wired connection. It remains to be seen how robust the streaming quality will be.
It doesn't remain to be seen. Kevin Coella, I am calling upon you to move heaven and earth and Discord call Andy Cortez.
Oh, okay.
Because he has hit me up. You can do it, you know, no video. That works. That's how we do it.
But
He had said, I just played the Control Cloud Gaming demo if you want to call me for the hot scoops. Then he misspelled scoops there. He tried again. He also misspelled it there. And then he nailed it.
I mean, it's a hard word to spell.
You want to call
I've never
him?
Seen someone call spell scoops. S-C-H-O-O-P-S. Oh, that's how he spelled right. it twice.
Andy Cortez in the Discord.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe trotting, head shotting, rootin' tootin', nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez. Andy, how does Control run?
Like you can expect any cloud gaming-based game to run, man.
So not great. It's close, but it's not great.
One of them says you can run. There's two options when you start up this demo. It's a free demo. One option says you can start off performance mode. And The other option says visuals mode. Performance mode likely just doesn't have ray tracing. I didn't notice ray tracing. And it's a little bit smoother. But great things. You can turn off motion blur and you can turn off film grain. Because I'll tell you what. Switch owners, you have the capability to see what ray tracing is like. Only the game looks like you downloaded a YouTube video with one of those third-party YouTube downloaders, and then you re-uploaded that downloaded video to YouTube again. And so it's like insanely compressed. I had it on my monitor playing. I did not try it in handheld mode.
Were you playing over a wired or a Wi-Fi connection?
Sorry, Andy, this is Gary Witta. I don't know if you guys have met before.
Hello, Gary. Great to be here.
Hey, Andy. Okay, so it was a wired connection. So basically the best conditions you could hope for, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm on gigabit internet. And, you know, the input lag, not horrible, right? I think that's always sort of the main concern with a game that's a shooter and a game that requires, you know, I don't know, fairly accurate commands. But, the input delay, not horrible, I will say that. Okay. But visually, it looks insanely compressed and really, really muddy.
So you wouldn't want to play it that way, basically.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Okay.
Because you love Control. You know how Control is supposed to look.
I beat it on Xbox One X, and then I ended up playing it on PC, and I've played it at the highest settings possible and stuff like that. So I think it's a great step forward, right? But I feel like we always talk about this with cloud gaming. It's like, oh, it's a great step. Maybe, you know, who knows what the future holds, but how long are we going to keep saying that? I think it's still cool shit, though. I think the most interesting thing is who's running this? Like who?
Yeah.
Obviously 505, it has some sort of involvement, but is it Amazon? Is it
whose servers are they?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I don't know.
We don't know. It's really interesting, and I agree totally with Andy that it's I love that they're doing it, and I'll say what I've said before about Stadia and about xCloud and about Amazon Luna and all these services are coming out. I think the idea is great. I think the technology is like a half a step behind what we want it to be. I think in the next couple of years, as you know, gigabit internet rolls out in more places, as 5G ultra wideband rolls out in more places, it's going to get there. I'm very confident. Let's say, like, I'm going to be very generous. Like 5 years from now, I know that sounds like a long time, but 5 years from now, I think streaming games is going to be super slick and it's going to work great. It's going to be a rough journey to get there, I think.
You gotta stumble so you can run, right?
Yeah, and I will say, obviously, it's a free download, so everybody go try it for yourself. See how it runs. See how it runs on Wi-Fi. See how it runs on a hardwired connection. I think me and Greg, I remember when we first tried out Stadia. No, you always thought Stadia kind of felt gross, right? Because I remember first trying it and being like, oh, this feels terrible.
It was when I first tried them in the back room at the office on the bad internet that I had trouble with them. Up front, it was fine. And like even right now, there's an Immortals Fenyx Rising demo we did with GameSpot that is running on Stadia, and it feels great.
Okay, good. Because I know Alana thinks Alana loved Stadia even when she tried it. So we'll see what the differences are there. But everybody try it out. It's a free demo. It lets you control Jesse in the beginning of the sort of campaign, and then you get to your first encounter where you are actually shooting enemies, and then it ends and says, hey, do you want to buy it? Go to the eShop now.
Well, here's my thing. When you buy it, are you putting the full 60 down, or is it you're buying like a subscription thing?
You're buying I'm assuming the full 60. I think
the way games industry, Brendan Sinclair had said 5-minute trial players would be prompted to purchase an access pass. So I didn't know if that was like something different.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I would assume it would be the full game because it's called like the ultimate edition.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Andy.
There, like I said, there was other stuff happening, and though, let's jump back into the Nintendo press release part of it. But that's not all that's coming to Nintendo Switch today. The Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase also announced that the adorable and out-of-this-world puzzler, part-time UFO from HAL Laboratory, the developers of the Kirby series, as well as a free demo for Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, are both available on the Nintendo eShop right now for Nintendo
Ooh,
Switch.
Ooh, I'm going to get that Hyrule demo. My wife, you know, she's a very, very big Breath of the Wild fan. My kid, too, they're going to want to get in on that Hyrule business.
Of course, that full game comes out November 20th. I know people are looking forward to it. It's a Musou, like Dynasty Warriors or whatever. If you want to go in there and beat stuff up, it'll be very interesting to see. I want to read actually the description for it, though, because they talk a little tidbits in there. I didn't know. Maybe you do, but no, whatever. Before the Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity game launches for the Nintendo Switch on November 20th, fans will be able to try the free demo of the game available now. The action-packed story is set in Hyrule 100 years before the events of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild game. The demo will let players experience the fast-paced action and dramatic cutscenes, which shed light on the events that led to the Great Calamity. During the Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase, it was revealed that the massive, screen-filling Divine Beast will also be playable in the game. Using the over-the-top powers of the Divine Beast will surely help players find victory when used in their respective stages. So there's some news for you. Yeah, right?
I'm gonna go get that after the show.
Good. Highlights for go like that though. Bravely Default 2, like we talked about, February 26, 2021. Stories of Seasons, March 23rd, 2021. No More Heroes 3, 2021. But again, No More Heroes and No More Heroes 2 available now. Hitman 3 Cloud Edition, but that's all we had. The UFO thing we talked about. Surviving the Aftermath was there. Survive and Thrive in a post-apocalyptic future. Resources are scarce, but opportunity calls. Players can build the ultimate disaster-proof colony, protect their colonists, and restore civilization to a devastated world. Remember, the end of the world is just the beginning. The Nintendo Switch version of Surviving the Aftermath launches spring 2021. Then Tropico 6 comes in Nintendo Switch on November 6th. Bakugan Champions of Historia launches exclusively for Nintendo Switch on November 3rd. And then Griftlands Nintendo Switch Edition is coming summer 2021.
I gotta say, Greg, just in general, even though Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5, because they're the new shiny objects, are gonna, you know, we're talking about those a lot over the holiday season. I think the Switch is still going to sell like gangbusters this holiday.
It's going to crush it. It's going to be insanely good. Don't worry about that. Yeah, Switch is going to keep going and being rad. Don't worry about that.
When do you think we're going to see a new one?
I think we get Switch Pro next year. Okay, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a spring thing that they announce out there.
Do what they want, don't they? You know, that's the thing I love about Nintendo. You just don't know what they're going to do next. Like this cloud gaming thing just came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think, you know, riding the success they've had this year with Animal Crossing, and of course the success they're going to continue to have. Like, I'm so excited for Halloween and Animal Crossing on Saturday, but remember
I can't wait. I've been collecting candy. I've been doing all kinds of stuff.
That leads into Thanksgiving, and then it leads into Christmas, and you want to talk about people crafting and coming back. It's going to be, and the season's changing. Like, even right now, as you know, the island slowly becomes fall.
I can't wait for Christmas. Cool. Christmas in Animal Crossing is going to be the best.
I know. Guess what? We are still in the Roper Report. We've only made it through, two news stories of seven, as I said earlier. So I'm going to insert the sponsors here. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Amazon Alexa. Of course, this is my first time hosting this year, Kinda Funny Games Daily this week. So I haven't even read this ad fully yet, but I'll let you know that. Hold on. I don't know if you can see it. Can you? Right back there? I guess so. Yeah, it's in the darkness. Oh, you can't see it because it's lit up right now. I have the Alexa. I have the whole house wired with Amazon Alexa. I love my Alexa. Now, let's see what the ad says here. I'm always looking for ways to make my life easier. We're all juggling too much, so the ability to offload even the smallest of tasks can make a difference. One convenience that I can't believe I lived without, smart bulbs connected to Amazon Alexa. And right now, Amazon Alexa is offering special smart lighting bundles for our listeners. I love Amazon Alexa. Tim and Kevin love the Hue lights and all that jazz and the smart light bulbs and all that jazz. Kinda Funny loves Amazon Alexa and their smart lighting. Blessing has been using Alexa and smart lights since his move, and it was easy to set up, easy to use, and makes your life easier in every way. With Amazon Smart Lighting Bundle, you can turn your home into a smart home in just minutes. Setup is easy, and you don't need any extra equipment. Just connect your new smart light bulbs to the Echo Dot, and you're all set. Set every possible mood with over 16 million light colors to choose from. Or control the lights in your home with the sound of your voice. Just say, Alexa, turn on the lights. I know that this happens in this house because Lucy James also does this too. And I hear her talk to her Alexa about the lights all the time. You can also set up lighting routines to gently wake you up in the morning, help you wind down at night, or completely turn off at a certain time. Right now, you can get 20% off Amazon Smart Lighting Bundle only at amazon.com/KFGames. Every single bundle comes with an Echo Dot smart speaker and a SingLED color-changing light bulb. That's 20% off at amazon.com/KFGames. But hurry, this offer ends October 31st. amazon.com/KFGames. Upstart is our next sponsor. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or diploma to apply. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part? If the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards and meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. And the final sponsor of the day is Hims. 4hims.com is all about men's wellness. We all know the story. Andy and Nick wanted to maintain their own wellness, so they looked to Hims to keep their hair full and healthy. We can confirm their hair is full and healthy. Through Hims, you can get prescription medication that treats erectile dysfunction. Real science, real solutions. This could cost hundreds of bucks if you had to go to a doctor or pharmacy. Not so with Hims. Hims makes it smart and affordable. There's no embarrassing conversations, no expensive appointments. Just answer a few questions online about your medical history and a provider will confidentially review it. If approved, your medication is shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging and shipping is free. No more searching online for answers to questions about erectile dysfunction or sexual wellness. Just go to your Hims account and ask a medical professional you can trust. Try Hims today by starting your free online visit. Go to 4hims.com/funnygames for your free visit. That's 4hims.com/funnygames, forhims.com/funnygames. Prescription products are subject to medical provider approval and require an online consultation with a medical provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information. Remember, that is 4hims.com/funnygames. Kevin, roll the PS5 watch graphic. What I'm giving you another gold star. I'm giving you another gold star.
What just happened?
We're doing a rock block of PlayStation 5 news here. So I needed the PS5 watch graphic from PS I Love You, which I know isn't in the usual OBS stuff he uses for games daily. Look at Kevin right there. Knocking it out of the park. That's your 26th gold star, Kevin. I'm proud of you. Number three on the Roper Report, Bugsnax is the first PlayStation 5 PlayStation Plus game ever. This was announced over on the PlayStation blog today. They also announced PlayStation 4's November PlayStation Plus games, which are Middle-earth Shadow of War, and Hollow Knight Void Heart Edition. Those will be available as usual first Tuesday of the month, November 3rd. Bugsnax will be available November 12th, obviously, the launch of the PlayStation 5. Here's where it gets interesting. This is the press release about Bugsnax coming to PlayStation Plus. Young Horses also revealed further details on the topic of content upgrades. Players who purchase Bugsnax for the PlayStation 4 will be able to upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version of the game for free. Those who purchase the PS5 version of Bugsnax will also own the PlayStation 4 version of Bugsnax. However, players who redeem Bugsnax on PlayStation 5 through their PlayStation Plus subscription will not be entitled to the PlayStation 4 version. Reading it makes it sound complicated when in reality it's them doing the right thing. If you fork over cash for one version of it, you get the other version of the game. Congratulations. If you're getting the PlayStation Plus free version, you're just getting the PlayStation 5 version. That makes sense to you, Gary.
Not really, but I'll take your word for it.
Thank you.
I'm often confused by things that normal people don't have any trouble understanding. So I'm just going to chalk this up to being one of those.
I mean, this is the cusp of PlayStation 5's smart delivery, in quotes, versus Xbox's very smart delivery. So I don't think this is, you're alone with like, wait, why is this even a thing? It's just the manner in which you get the game. If you pay the game, you get it both ways. If you get it for free, you only get it on PlayStation 5. But why this matters at all, you might ask.
I get that. Okay. I can understand that. That's fine.
Why this matters at all, you might ask, comes from the PlayStation blog where Young Horses wrote, "We also wanted to provide some insight for trophy hunters out there. Bugsnax will have standalone trophy lists for both PlayStation 5 and PS4, which means you get double the fun and double the trophies. We're also looking at supporting save transfers from your PS4 to your PS5, which would be added in a future update."
Does that mean, you know, trophy hunter that you are, Greg, does that mean that you'll be playing Bugsnax on both PS4 and PS5?
Doubtful, no. Bugsnax seems like a fun game that I'm going to play, but it's one of those indies where it's like, this is a fun game. Is it going to hold me the entire time, or is this something I play for a little bit?
I know, but you've established that you'll play anything.
Yes, but I'll play anything that's cheap and easy. For any, you know, that's the thing where it's like, they put it out on the Insomniac Twitter the other day, right? About like, here's the breakdown for the trophies on Miles Morales. And I love Spider-Man PS4, right? Here's the breakdown that. And they said there are two separate lists. And even that, I'm like, I love Spider-Man, and I want to play Spider-Man Remastered and platinum that. But it's like, am I going to want to play Miles Morales again? Like, you know what I mean? I beat it on one, and I go right back to another.
What's the point of having two separate trophy lists on the different platforms?
I mean, usually it's a way to get you to buy the game. That's why Rattalika does it. Like, you know what I mean? You buy one version of the game, and you get a bunch of versions of. You buy the game once, you get a bunch of different versions that you can then get multiple trophy lists on, and then you get more trophies.
So the idea is that people that are like super duper trophy hunters will buy the game on both platforms.
Well, usually it's you buy trophies. It's not even that you buy it on both platforms. It's you buy it once and you get it both times. So it's
But play investing it, but play both and get separate trophies.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. I'll never understand it, but I know it brings a lot of people pleasure. So who am I to judge?
Exactly. You know what I mean? I don't look in your nice little room there. I'm like, oh, your room's really clean. What a weirdo. You know, as I sit here with my pile of garbage pillows behind me, just sitting around. How much time we got here? It's already four. No, we're not. No, I was like, do we have time for this question from Digital Doc? No, we've covered a lot about the stuff here. We can talk about PlayStation Plus another time. Number four, still in this PlayStation 5 watch segment. We have, by the way, this is all happening because the PlayStation blog was like, hey, we're going to talk about a bunch of PlayStation 5 things today. And they started putting stuff up. Number four, we have information about No Man's Sky on PlayStation 5. Huge blog post about that, but I'm pulling from it and reading this. Today, we are thrilled to announce that a PlayStation 5 version of No Man's Sky will be available at launch just a few weeks from now. Taking advantage of the next-gen hardware, the PlayStation 5 version offers enhanced visuals, audio, and more. Current No Man's Sky players will receive this PS5 upgrade for free and be able to transfer their save game between consoles when they decide to continue the explore the universe on the next generation. They listed all the bullet points here. Some of them I'm going to go into, some of them I'll just read. Haptic controls, from the satisfying feeling of firing your bolt caster to the gentle nudge of building part slotting into place in a space habitat, or the firm click of the trigger on your interstellar ship, haptic controls allow a player to feel immersed in an alien world as never before. Fuller worlds. Next generation hardware allows No Man's Sky's procedural generation to create lusher, richer, and more densely populated universe than ever before. Planet surfaces are even more detailed, with thousands more rocks, alien grasses, and exotic flora on the screen at any time. 32-player multiplayer. For the first time on console, up to 32 players can join forces to build, survive, fight, and explore the galaxy together. Advanced audio, 4K at 60 frames per second, ultra visuals, vast base building, warp speed load times, explore the universe instantly with 5 to 10 times reduction in loading times on PlayStation 5. You can warp from solar system to solar system in an instant. Gary, exciting for us. Crossplay. PS5 explorers will be able to join together with other adventurers on all other platforms, including previous generations. And then, of course, PlayStation 5 or PlayStation VR, No Man's Sky is still completely playable in PlayStation VR on PS5 by virtue of the backwards compatibility that PlayStation VR does. worth pointing out here, since we just mentioned VR, it's not a news story off to its own. That free camera adapter you need to make your PlayStation VR work on your PlayStation 5 is finally up on the site. Wario64 tweeted out the link. It's the easiest way to go get it. So you can go to twitter.com/Wario64, click on it, and request your link that way.
There's got to be some new VR hardware coming as well, right? For PlayStation 5?
Yes. PlayStation has, yes. I mean, the fact that it's backwards compatible with PS4 is great, and like, okay, cool, you're committed to it. Yes, there's the belief there will be a PlayStation VR 2. I've said that I think they are working on it and have every intention to do it, but I could also see a universe where it never comes to be. I hope it does. I love my PlayStation VR. I'd love to see a wireless PlayStation VR and a better
As VR screen. Hardware goes, it's one of the most underpowered sets out there,
but one of the most successful.
It's very successful, but you know, it's basically the worst VR experience you could have, I think. Compared to what else is out there right now. And so if VR, if Sony is, oh my God, did I really need to see that? Compared to what else is out there right now, you know, if Sony wants to continue to compete in the VR space and be at the, and remain at the cutting edge, yeah, it's going to be time for a hardware refresh very soon.
Sorry, when the link went up from Wario 64, God, it's like an eye test here. To request your PlayStation VR adapter, the link was broken. Like, it was getting hit so much.
Is it good now?
Yeah, I got in. So while we're talking about it, so I'm getting... You got to get your thing here,
yeah,
Kevin.
My thing is so far... It's in the garage. I have to go... Oh, I'm my really God. Why did
they
make this?
They made it so small.
Here's a question, Greg. Why doesn't...
I got booted out.
Why doesn't the new camera work?
Dude, don't get me started.
Why did I buy the new camera?
You know why did any of us buy the new camera?
The new camera doesn't work?
No, you need the old camera.
Don't sound so excited, all right?
I mean, come on. Does the right hand not know what the left hand is doing over at Sony? Come on.
Apparently not. I mean, that's clear to everyone.
All right, hold on. I'm finally in there. Kevin, you read the next story while I enter my information.
What were we at? Watchdog. Well, there's two number five
of the number five. Well, as I go, Kevin, because we added so much news today.
I added number six. There we go. Gary, you know how to read well, right? Give me number five.
I read real good, Kevin.
PS5 release dates. You see that in the doc? Do you know what the doc is?
Nope. You never send it to me.
That's not true. It's the same one. It's always every time.
When's the last time you sent that to me?
I sent it to you when you started the show.
What, like a year ago?
Why does this think I'm in the UK? No, I'm not.
No,
in the
you're
UK.
In the US.
I'm in America. I'm in the United
releases,
States.
Let's see. What is this? There you go.
What the hell? It thinks I'm in the wrong country.
After 8 months on PC and over 19 million Temtems tamed. The fuck is Temtems?
All right, this is some kind of BS. This is
exclusively on PlayStation 5. What the hell's Temtems Tamed mean? Temtems with early
Temtems is the game.
Is it a
people
good game?
People like it.
Yeah. Gary, you heard about this game?
I don't know.
I honestly don't even know what is going on right now. What
I'm
is
reading the
happening?
News to you.
After 8 months and over 19 million Temtems tamed, Temtem is making its console debut exclusively on PlayStation 5 with early access beginning December 8th. The game will feature crossplay between PS5 and PC communities. If you haven't read our announcement post yet, here's a quick recap. Temtem is a massively multiplayer creature collection adventure where you seek adventure in the lovely airborne archipelago alongside your Temtem squad. Players can catch every Tem, challenge the other tamers, customize their house, or join a friend's adventure in a full co-op experience. There's three different release dates today. The other one for PlayStation 5. Gather your tribe and stand against Ragnarok in Tribes of Midgar. Coming to PlayStation 5 in 2021, this co-op survival action RPG pits you against the end of the world. Prove yourself as a lone Viking or form a tribe of up to 10 players. The odds are against you, but Valhalla can wait. And then Haven is coming to PlayStation 5 December 3rd. Haven, of course, that co-op, you're flying around the world holding hands with your lover, game that was in one of the Kind of Funny Games showcase and has been in an indie world, I think, since then, and yada, yada, yada. Gary.
Yes, Greg.
Number six on the Roper Report, Watch Dogs Legion reviews are up. You, of course,
yes,
can catch
I saw
me
that this morning. In fact, my friend Cypher is streaming it right now. I watched a little bit of that right before the show.
You can watch me, Imran, and Andy review it, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or the Gamescast podcast feed, wherever. We aren't super high on it. We didn't really, like, me and Imran are, like, totally, like, eh.
It's, yeah, it's, reviews look very mixed.
It's boilerplate. It's just I think, antiquated open-world adventure without a real narrative hook to who you are. But we're not the deciding. Andy's having fun with it. And then Metacritic right now is this, or I shouldn't say right now, at 8:48 a.m. Pacific time is 77. Game Informer gave it a 9. Marcus Stewart wrote, Legion feels like the realization of the hacker fantasy the first Watch Dogs tried to capture. Between the fun team building, fantastic mission design, strong narrative, and a gorgeous world, everything comes together in a largely entertaining and cohesive package. Whether you're controlling a trained super spy or a gassy grandmother, Watch Dogs Legion is a ton of fun. I couldn't disagree with that more, but I'm glad he enjoyed himself. GameSpot gave it an 8. Alessandro Filari says, the overall narrative and tonal issues that Watch Dogs Legion has can force their way into the front of mind, but the core gameplay of hacking the world, making connections, and seeing your favorite operative succeed in satisfying is satisfying enough that it makes it easier not to get hung up on them. The main story hits some impressive highs, while the latter half, thanks to the aforementioned Stormzy mission and the podcast emails and even chats with your fellow DedSec members that tackle the heavier subject matter. At its best, Legion manages to stay on message while keeping things fun and exciting, and in some ways, the goofy absurdity of Legion's characters and wacky side activities feel like an appropriate match to the sad absurdity of Legion's world. And then VG247 gave it 3 out of 5 stars. Lauren Aitken wrote, the difficulty suddenly ramps up after the 404 and Sky Larson storylines, and you're suddenly expected to take part in numerous gunfights and complete spider bot and drone challenges. Despite this uptick, the same new mission style is repeated over and over, and it follows a bit of a strange pattern. Expect to go into a quiet area, fart around with a computer, and enjoy a cheeky bit of banter from your AI pal Bagley before loads of enemies spawn from the corners. You'll need to clear the area of the enemies who've decided to fight you, even though you've already completed the task, so it's more like a combat section that's being chucked in for the sake of it, before returning to the previous area and making a dash for all the aforementioned open doors. I obviously read through all these reviews or skimmed them. I fall in line the most with Lauren at VG247. But like I said, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, you can catch our full Gamescast discussion as we go into it. Gary, yeah. This is in your hometown, London, England.
Yeah.
Are you excited for it? You going to hop in?
No, I'm not. It's unfortunate. You know, I want every game to be good. And, you know, it looks like, again, I watched a little bit of the streams this morning. The embargo's lifted. I saw some of the same reviews that you did. Yeah, it looks like good, but not great. Unfortunately, coming into the holiday season, especially with the next gen cycle, good, but not great's not going to be enough. And I have a feeling this game's going to get trampled in the stampede of bigger and better games and excitement about new consoles and everything else. I was optimistic about the essential concept of it, you know, players and everyone and anyone that, you know, felt like it could have been revolutionary. It doesn't sound like it is. You know, you could make the argument from a storytelling standpoint that, you know, since you're not really playing as anyone in particular, you don't really get to identify with anyone in particular, which is, you know, a key component of, you know, of getting feeling engaged with the story is identifying with the protagonist. And if the protagonist is just everybody, then, you know, do we care? Maybe not. And yeah, this is not going to be a problem for everyone. I know you mentioned that Lucy had an issue with it as well, coming from England, as a very different part of England, but still England. I grew up in the East End of London. I grew up in London, born and raised, where this game is set. And I remember when they first showed the trailer, I was like, oh my God, they're there. Oi, Governor! Like, it was like nails on a fucking chalkboard for me, because the accents were so bad and so fake. And I tuned into a stream this morning, because a lot of people are streaming it now. I think there's like some promotional stuff with the streaming going on with Ubisoft, where people, you know, getting like paid to stream the game and what have you. That happens all the time now.
If I can give just a bit of inside baseball on that, what our review codes came and the embargo for reviews lifted today. Streaming embargo lifted Monday. So if you have,
I'm sure that's the case, but I know that there's some.
There's definitely people being paid to do it. Yeah.
So there's a lot of streamers out there. I thought maybe the accents have got better. I don't know. I was able to listen to it for about 2 minutes. Greg, I was honestly, it feels like they're always like a couple of moments away from breaking out into fucking Chim Chim Chiru. you know, it's very, oi, Gavner, this is a right bleeding palaver. Like, fuck off with, I can't deal with it, Greg. I can't deal with it.
I understand,
it's not,
man.
It's not for me. I'm sure a bunch of Americans that won't be able to tell whether that accent is real or fake won't have that issue. It sounds like there are plenty of other issues they could be having with the game instead. But that, for me particularly, coming from that part of the world, was a real turnoff. So I will not be bothering with that game, I don't think.
In terms of our review, and one of the things I say that you echoed is, I'm right there with you, of when I was playing it, and again, as I say in the review, I'll do it right now. This was before I got PlayStation 5, so don't actually compare it apples to apples with anything there. But it was that thing of got the game, was playing it. As Andy says, you can have fun in it. There's a bunch of bugs. There's a bunch of really weird stuff. There's a bunch of antiquated systems and yada, yada, yada. But playing it, I was like, right now, if any other game was out, I wouldn't play this. You know what I mean? Like, so to be on the doorstep of Assassin and Miles.
The timing is unfortunate. They released it. They obviously, I know it got pushed back. It was delayed, but like, they obviously decided not, you know, they could have held it into like early next year. So no, we feel that this is a AAA game that can hold its own against, you know, Valhalla and Miles Morales and all the other big next gen, you know, Demon Souls, all the other big mega games that are going to be launching over the, who knows, what do I know? But my prediction is that this is one of those, you know, anytime, every holiday, particularly in a big console launch season, there are so many games that get launched, and we've only got so many dollars to spend and so many hours to spend playing games. Some games are going to get lost in the shuffle, and I feel like this is going to be one of those also-ran games of this holiday season.
And I think it's so crazy because it's, you know, I don't want to, you know, we talk about some of this in the review, but it's the same thing of like, this is what happened with Watch Dogs 2. It's a game that came out and underperformed, and to put this one out, even though it has cool tech around it, but to put it around this kind of competition, you're going to get the same thing. Right, like, and that was the thing, as I talked about in the video, of like, remember Watch Dogs 2 came out and I loved it, and I could have sworn it might have been a month, kind of funny.com/wrong, I guess it could have been a month, but it was definitely within the first 3 months where it was on sale. Like, it was crazy. And even right now, right, like, I'm looking at Mike Minotti, February 9th, 2017, Ubisoft misses third quarter projections as Watch Dogs 2 underperforms. Like, for an IP that is still struggling, to put it out right now, you know, people always talk about the value of $60. And, you know, some people want to use that against me and say, I don't remember what it's like to buy all my games, because obviously we get so many for review. I know what $60 means, period, to any human being. And right now, to think about investing $60 in this fine
when
game,
there's so many other things.
When you're about to buy maybe two systems, you're about to buy Cyberpunk now in December. But like, there's so much going on of like,
if I worked on the Watch Dogs Legion development team, I would be begging Ubisoft to hold this until like, you know, early next year. Like, just wait. Like, why send it out to the slaughter right now against all this AAA competition? Include some of your own games. They're putting this out against Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which is going to be a much bigger and a more successful game. Make a prediction for you right now. This is going to be the last Watch Dogs game. I don't think they'll bother again after this. This is not going to be one of the perennial Ubisoft franchises like Assassin's Creed and Far Cry, where they just keep putting them out, and they're, you know, and they get better and more interesting each time, and they continue to make good money. Like, I just kind of feel like they tried something with Watch Dogs. It was maybe kind of cool. It was an interesting idea, but it, you know, none of the Watch Dogs games have really, you know, caught fire. I feel like this. You know, I like it when Ubisoft try different things, but like, maybe this one, maybe this just didn't work.
And then one thing that isn't news, but I also have, well, it is news. I'm not going to give it a number. Well, I guess I will. It's number 7 on the Roper Report, right? PlayStation Blog has put up a thing about the new PlayStation app that is designed to enhance your experiences on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. It's got an updated user interface, message integration, voice party, chat, and groups are integrated into this too. It's basically fixing the fact that PlayStation had 19 apps or whatever. It looks like it's got a bunch of news in there too, but you can natively integrate a PlayStation Store remote downloads. That's great. You can read about it over there. It looks like it's rolling out today on all app stores or whatever. But yeah, check that out. iOS, Android today. There you go. Gary, I can't wait to try this new PlayStation app. And I'll check right now if it's refreshed. But, you know, the App Store update is still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
Oh, God, it's been so long since I've done it, Greg. I'm going to be a bit rusty.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Feel it out.
If only you had
the official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Oceanhorn 2, Knights of the Lost Realm on Switch. Egos, A Game of Space on PC, Transient on PC, Poltergeist Crusader on Switch, Star 99 on Switch, Gibbous, A Cthulhu Adventure on Switch, Strobe Strobophagia, Rave Horror on PC. And then I put in originally the link here to the camera adapter from Wario 64. People in your wrong pointed out, Greg, that wasn't for America. Shuhei has since tweeted the American version to go do that. So in the post show, you will watch me squint at my box some more and try to get this over there. Phrasing. New dates for you. Atlas Rogues has been announced, coming to Steam November 18th. Fascism Fighters 4000 comes to Tango Fiesta on October 28th, 2020 for Steam. Naraka Blade Point closed beta arrives November 3rd. And then Jason Schreier's new book, Press Reset, Ruin and Recovery in the Video Game Industry, will be published in trade paperback, ebook, and audio editions on May 11th, 2021. Gary.
Yes.
We ask people to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to support us, to take care of us, to squad up with best friends. You can go there right into the show, be part of it, whether it's a question or whether it's just like Jordan did and you want to play games with other people. Jordan wants to play on Xbox. Jordan's Xbox username is Guitar Hero Aero, all one word, A-E-R-O at the end there. This one's for the record. I've nearly obtained every achievement in the legendary Modern Warfare 2, specifically the original 360 release. However, like many, there is one achievement that has eluded me, the dreaded Star 69, to complete every Spec Ops mission on Veteran. But I'm so close. I'm just three missions short of completion, but the ones I'm missing are pretty brutal, especially when playing solo. For those who know the game well, all I've got left is Homeland Security, Terminal, and Wet Work. I'm looking for someone experienced in Modern Warfare 2 veterans in the Best Friends community to help me finally reach this difficult milestone. I'm generally on starting in the afternoon and sporadically throughout the night. I am also balancing my love of games with the commitment to college, but I'm generally pretty flexible. My gamertag is Guitar Hero Aero, parentheses, like Aerosmith, the band, without the Smith. Shoot me a message if you want to help me tie up this last loose end. Hashtag Greg is Halloween King, hashtag make some XCast merch, please. If you want to play games with Jordan, Guitar Hero Aero.
Yeah, where is the XCast t-shirt, by the way, Greg?
Let's see where the XCast show is going to be in December, all right? We said we committed to you chuckleheads. We had chuckleheads through the launch of this console. Let's get through and see what happens. They do love it. I'm glad. Saturdays, everybody, 6 a.m. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we ask you to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Nanobiologist tells us that controls game streaming is handheld through Ubitus.
Okay. Yeah, I saw Patrick Klepek tweeting about that. That's the company that's doing the streaming service, apparently.
Access Pass is $40. I don't want to do that. There's a spoiler for Animal Crossing.
Is that the kind of game that has spoilers?
A lot of people are just editorializing here.
Any excitement about me and my stars?
No, they know not to put it in here. They know
what happens to Kevin now that he's got all these stars.
He gets a pizza party now.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah. I can't believe you fought so hard against it, though.
Lord of Poe says the new camera has different lenses and image sensors. That's why it doesn't work with PSVR. The new camera has some cool stuff built in for background removal, which wasn't possible with the old camera. Sure, no, that's fine. It's more, why would you fucking build a new camera that can't do what the old camera can do?
Yeah, that's fucking dumb. Well,
that's why. And then not tell us so you've already pre-ordered the fucking camera.
Yeah.
To be fair, Kevin, I think you'll come to see this in due time. By being very stingy with the stars and not just giving them out, you know, willy nilly, for every little thing that every little thing you do right. I don't want to cause star inflation. I don't want the stars to be devalued.
Well, if we just shower
you with stars, they're not going to have any value. They've got to be special. You got to feel like you've earned them. So by holding them back, I'm actually doing you a favor.
Well, hey, it's Joe, over.
That's kind of funny. Games
never
daily.
Gave me one. Look at all my stars. Not one.
We got a post show to do. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Tomorrow it's going to be me and Tim hosting. It'll be me and Blessing hosting on Friday, of course. Like I said, the show doesn't end here. Head over to get that post show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, though, if you want to be part of this show, you can ask your questions, comments, concerns, all that stuff over there. Of course, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, and you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or podcast services around the globe. Remember, no matter where you get your Kind of Funny content, lots of cool stuff is up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe for unboxings of the PlayStation 5 and Xbox One. You, of course, have the Watch Dogs review. There's a whole bunch of Let's Plays. And now Gary has his Xbox ready to go.
Yes, I'm going to set it. I'm very excited later today to set it up. I'm going to play some games.
We have a post show to do, but until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.